Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the Fact Hunter Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fact Hunter Radio Network. Here is your host, George Hobbs.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of our classic audio series. Today we have a great gem from 2013, the one and only Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper, visited InfoWars back in September of 2013, and our thanks to InfoWars for this segment, which runs about 40 minutes. He was there celebrating, and basically he was selling the 25th anniversary edition of They Live. It came out in 1988, and they made a special edition 25-year anniversary Blu-ray edition, which he was promoting, and he was on InfoWars. And this was actually, I was very surprised, it was one of Alex Jones' better interviews. He didn't cut in all the time. And I'm a big fan of Roddy Piper for two reasons. Number one, They Live is one of my favorite movies of all time. I think one of the great lines in movie history is, I came here to chew bubble gum and kick some ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum, right? That's a classic. But also, I was a huge, huge wrestling fan as a youngster. I remember watching WrestleMania III. My dad actually took me, before they had pay-per-views in the homes, they had something called closed circuits. So they would, you know, send these, you know, shows via satellite. We went to the Grand Ole Opry House in Wilmington, held about 1,500 people. It was jam-packed, and we were watching all together on this giant TV screen because we didn't have pay-per-view in the homes yet. And, of course, the big event that day was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. But the match that stole the show was Ricky Steamboat, versus the Macho Man, Randy Savage. But Roddy Piper, one of the most well-known wrestlers of all time. And, of course, They Live went on to become quite a cult following. And Roddy is kind of awake. I was very happy to hear this interview. He made some great points to the New World Order, and listening to his story, this is really an enjoyable piece. If you don't know, Roddy passed July 31st, 2015. You know, the wrestling business, it just puts a lot of wear and tear on the body for sure. So I hope you enjoy this. I really did, and I wanted to share this with you. Without any further ado, this is again from September 2013. This is Roddy Piper on InfoWars.
Come to show them where I am. Not nice.
All right, folks, we're brought in with a little bit of the theme music from They Live. The really good part is where it goes dun-om, dump, dump. But I tell you, it is one of my favorite all-time movies, and it really gets you to think outside the box. And, of course, I grew up watching him on television as well. It's super exciting to have Rowdy Roddy Piper on with us today from Los Angeles there in Sean Stone's living room. Both guys are with us. And, you know, it's great. I've gotten to be good friends with Jesse Ventura. I know these two guys are friends as well, or have been in the past. And so now I get to talk to both of them. And Mr. Piper, formerly, of course, born Roderick George Toombs, it is great to have you on the worldwide broadcast, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. Would you mind just introducing me every place I go? Fantastic introduction.
Well, it's great to have you on. I tell you, so much is happening in the world, but let's get into They Live. You've been in a lot of movies, but what's your take on the 25th anniversary of They Live?
It's really interesting. The movie They Live, when it was made, was more about Reaganomics at the time. But with the, as the music lulls you to sleep, conspiracies, one of the things that the movie has done is it's taken on a life of its own. It never gets old as we see the world evolve and try to make us a little chip. The same thing's happening over and over again. You watch They Live and it gives you, it's kind of like the cliff notes for what's going on.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, you've got the part where the drone flies over you, and you go, hello there, my little friend. And now I've actually videotaped drones twice in Austin watching people at the park. Now I'm actually living and They Live.
Yes. And it's an awkward place to live, I'll be honest with you. John Carpenter, when we shot the scene with the homeless people, he actually used the homeless people there. John is a big activist, you know, and I give him all the respect in the world for that. And, you know, turning out and showing what the world's become. I don't know why America has homeless people. It's terrible. But also another thing we had to do was pay off the gangs so they wouldn't come and wreck our trailers. So there was, you know, little conspiracy, little gangs for warfare. Then there would be the homeless people we'd take care of. And it really became a venture of love to a certain point and trying to do the right thing. Again, I give all the credit to John on that.
What is your favorite part of the film?
Well, not the fight, I'll tell you that. That was a long fight. My favorite part of the film? I think when the character Nada looks out and he says, I believe in America. I think that's probably the biggest statement of the entire movie. One thing, for instance, when we would go to press conferences, you know, if you happen to be wearing something like a Rolex, we took it off. Or, you know, John and I both drive Cadillacs trying to buy America, buy American and keep the country safe. In that shot, you had all the skyline of Los Angeles and the character Nada, which means nothing, obviously, which means nothing. The thing that was interesting with Nada staring over the L.A. skyline was you didn't know anything about him. You didn't know where he came from. He wore a wedding ring. You didn't know why. You didn't know where he was going. He's that lost American wandering around, and he still looks out over the skyline of Los Angeles, and he says a very profound statement. I believe in America. I do too.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite lines is, because I feel like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signals broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
No, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And by the way, I'm a big booster of you. I've watched some of your Taking Care of America and watched you in a hotel room while the buzzing was going on, and I think you do a terrific job. This is the kind of thing that needs to be exposed to America. They need to know, you know, they're trying to put us to sleep. I'm a born rebel. I can't help myself. I think Sean might be too.
Roddy Piper is a born rebel? You gotta be kidding.
Well, best guess at it, bud. And you know, I've got four children, all born here in America. I've got two son-in-laws One of my son-in-laws is a captain in the Army, been wounded twice. My other son-in-law is a Green Beret. You know what? With They Live and the mind control and everything that's going on, there's one thing that that can escape people. If you don't have somebody personal to you that has been harmed by not only by the conspiracies and all the tributaries that lead to that, or run off that, if you don't have someone close to you shaking at nighttime because he got blown up twice, went over again and got blown up two times, then it doesn't mean so much to you. You know, every time we want to go to war, send your boy to war. My boy's already been there. And it becomes with the mind control, trying to dumb down the society, drugging society, putting stuff. I mean, it's a major conspiracy for a new world order. It's no doubt about it in my humble opinion. There's no doubt about it that the world is trying to evolve into something.
Rowdy Piper, I'm sorry I interrupted. What do you think they're trying to evolve it into?
Oh, this, again, please, I respect you and what you're doing, and Sean, your opinions are much...
No, but we want to know yours. Don't be humble, sir.
Okay, no, but you're much more educated on this than I am, and I don't want to... This is too serious. I don't want to... this is just my humble opinion.
Sure.
The world has to go someplace. Okay, we've got so many countries around the world fighting. That the world has to get together in some kind of way, in some kind of fashion, instead of killing people, killing children for oil. One idea that crossed my mind was, as soon as they let us see the aliens, we'll all get together because it'll be us against them. And you need some kind of shock value like that. Either that or we're going to self-destruct. I think that in all cultures, people are basically very good-hearted. It's just the extremists or the people that are running and pushing the buttons. I think that they want one governmental force to govern the world. It's just that everybody's got their own agenda. You can't get that done unless Gandhi's around. You can't. We can't get everybody on the same page. Well, another idea is if we all spoke the same language, it'd be kind of cool because communication is gone. And then we can't tell when they say obey. You know, we were mad at Russia for how long? But I've been there, and they're pretty nice people. They don't want to, over the Cuban Missile Crisis, if you go back and look at it, Russia didn't want to start a nuclear war. Pretty good people around the world. So what is the world trying to evolve to? We have so many different people, and there's zero population has not happened yet. And we're growing and growing. Like China, what are you doing, China? The thing in Syria, what's China doing? Why are we sending our boys? Somebody else sending their boys. What's the UN doing? So what do I believe is trying to happen? I believe that a lot of people with their own agendas are trying to come around and make one government to govern the entire world. And there's some things they're going to have to do. We all got to speak the same language, and we all got to be sincere about what's going on and not so greedy.
Absolutely, because you can have the Star Trek idea of a one-world government, everybody's nice. The problem is the people running the global government are not nice people, and they want control. Basically, I use the They Live analogy, and we'll come back to break and get your take on this, both of you, as the globalists are like psychopaths that are building a psychopathic world government. So the allegory of them being space aliens and They Live is absolutely accurate, because these aren't like regular people, and they punch our emotional buttons, they punch our human buttons to cold-bloodedly control us. So how do we learn how the psychopaths operate so we're aware of their tricks, so as good people we can come together and not blow the planet up? We're going to come right back with our amazing guest, both of our guests, Sean Stone and Roddy Piper. Straight ahead is the 25th anniversary of They Live, and I'm told that the DVDs are selling off the stores like hotcakes. We'll be right back.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Right now we're getting into consciousness and how to get people out of the matrix. And films like The Matrix and films like They Live do that like no other films can. And we, of course, have Sean Stone and Mr. Piper on the broadcast with us. And I'm very honored to have both of them on the show. I'm a big fan of the movie They Live, but also of Rowdy Roddy Piper. You can go to his website, and we'll put it up on screen for TV viewers. It is rowdyroddypiper.com, and it's a really great site. It has a lot of really interesting information up there on it. And he also has his Twitter, which we'll put up on screen for TV viewers. But for radio listeners, you can simply go to the address. You guys put his Twitter up on screen. It's on that computer right there. And folks can go there and check that out as well. Guys, continuing with where we left off about consciousness, it's r_Roddy_Piper. It's @r_Roddy_Piper or rowdyroddypiper.com, as I said. Where do you see the whole world going currently? We were talking about globalism, the New World Order, the things that are happening. Do you have hope for your children and your grandchildren?
Oof. I guess I'm the only one that's got children between the two of us, huh? I'm a little afraid for my youngest. I've got four children, the most beautiful children in the world, in my opinion. And the youngest just is going to PSU to become a doctor. And they're all over this kind of thing. She's very aware. Fallon is my youngest. She's 18 years old. She's very aware of what's going on in the world. The internet, you know, I'm from the generation before computers. And the internet's got so much information that The thing is, the kids, they're targeting the kids, and they're telling them how to think. They're dumbing them down in school. For instance, when my kids were in school, they had like no paper days. They didn't have paper to write on because of a shortage, or they'd pull the teachers. And that's a real heat getter for a dad who makes a living wrestling with his body to... When I go to feed my family, and all of a sudden you've got a school that has no paper for my kids. So why do you have no, well, you see, it all starts with the kids. And as you get older and a little wiser, you're harder to fool. But you put up another pop idol for the kids. Put up another piece of music that maybe is nothing but vulgarity. For the kids, you know, bang it into them. I can remember, I think you know the Brunswick Affair probably, Alan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and for those who don't know about the Brunswick Affair, very quickly, about, I think, in early 60s, they had a TV called the Brunswick. And the people that bought it, dad would go to work, mom would be there, and dad would come back home, and all of a sudden she'd bought 20 pounds of dog food. But they don't have a dog. And they found out that there was a little button in the TV called the Brunswick. And when the commercials came on, they did something that shot out these waves and made you buy. That's in the early 60s. Can you imagine how sophisticated they are now? Holy cow. So if they had that kind of mind control back then, the only reason I think that I'm not a good case study for them is because I was a born gypsy. I don't really have, there's no place to halter me, and I'm not afraid to speak out. But they're my children. And you say, what do I worry about my children? And I have 5 grandchildren, and I'm very worried about them because the earth is not stable right now.
Absolutely, because it's being run by control freak psychopaths that might as well be space aliens from another planet. And you raise the whole point about mind control. In the 40s, they would put subliminal ads in movie theaters and double sales of Coca-Cola. And now it's so much more high-tech, and it's working on the zombified public, but there is a minority that it actually has the opposite effect on. And I want to talk about that in a long segment when we come back, and also open the phones up for questions on They Live for Mr. Piper and Mr. Stone, 25th anniversary. But here's the big question when we come back, Rowdy. Why are we somewhat immune? Why does the propaganda only irritate us? Why does the signal only make us get angry and more awake? What is different from us than the general zombified public? We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com. Yeah.
Judge, what is the secret of the universe?
Infowars.com. Yeah.
Rowdy Roddy Piper on my show. This is so cool. And the whole office is pretty excited listening to him on the show. Everybody loves They Live. You know, I got to say, They Live is probably in my top 3 films. Well, anytime I run into it on television, I have to watch it. My wife's always like, there you are watching that on DVD again. I've probably seen it 100 times. And because it just breaks down everything. It's so incredibly evergreen. And there he is, radio listeners. You go to Infowars.com/show. See the free video feeds. There is Mr. Piper right there on our screen. So, sir, you heard the question before the break, dealing with the nature of reality, dealing with, you know, all the points that are being basically put out there by the media. What do you think at the bottom of the rabbit hole? What do you think's really going on, and dovetailing it with They Live?
Right. So many variables. First of all, just before the break, you were saying, why does it control some people, and why does somebody like myself or maybe Sean, it doesn't control? And with They Live, the character Nada was based very much on my life. I don't come from any place. I was born in a place called Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, coldest place on earth. And I was moved all over the world till I was 13, and I went out by myself. And then I got into a business with no rules. Pro wrestling at 15, no rules at all. You could do, the only thing is, you know, you had to survive it. So I wasn't raised under the institution. I wasn't there to program every day. They got to hit you every day. I understand on the signs, but in my particular case, my job was to make you angry. And so I was doing a lot of subliminal things in my interviews. And from my own business, I know what it is to control somebody. It's like when the radio first came out, and people that would sit by the radio and, like, Seabiscuit would listen to the race, or Joe Louis with can't remember the other guy's name.
The boxing. Yeah.
They would all tune into the radio because it was like this unbelievable device. And then when television came on, one of the hottest shows was pro wrestling, because it was easily produced, and it's an international language. But within my ranks, there are no rules, so you can't program me. And then once you get a little older, and I've seen people that are programmed, you learn how they do that, and it becomes evident that the different things that they do in the government, questions you're not allowed to ask. Jesse Ventura is a good friend of mine. been a tag team partner, and Jesse told me they gave Jesse a lot of they wanted to know how Jesse got to be governor. And Jesse himself had told me about a situation he got into where these government officials came and took him underground and started asking him questions. They just didn't realize Jesse's not afraid. And Jesse Ventura lives in Mexico. I talk to him as often as I can. So Jesse's not a programmable guy either. And Sean, yeah. I don't...
Absolutely. Governor Ventura is going to be on the 27th before he starts his whole media tour in the month of October. Very excited. He's got a new book on JFK coming out. And I think you just answered my question there that I said at the beginning of the break, and I was going to reintroduce. What makes those of us that are immune or resistant to the programming, and I think it's that we grew up as individuals, and we grew up and had a brush with the streets. I grew up in a middle-class area, but for whatever reason, there was a lot of fights, a lot of corrupt police, government drug dealing, a lot of police running hookers, you name it. And I grew up, you know, watching this going on in my neighborhood and then watching the same cops give speeches against drug use at school. And I called them out and they threatened to kill me and stuff. But I think that was kind of my wake up was I put the sunglasses on because I saw the other side and saw how naive everybody is. And I think you said it best. They want to get the youth, dumb them down, make it all a bunch of political correctness to where the kids don't even know how to make a sandwich. They're not allowed to get in a fist fight to learn how to defend themselves. They're not allowed to play dodgeball. They're at school till 8 o'clock now because parents got to work two jobs. They are attacking our basic humanity because a basic human is not going to be a slave.
Yeah. You know, Alex, what's interesting, I'm listening to how the discourse is always they, right? And the funny thing is they live. Who is they? People always say, who is they? You know, the conspiracy theorists, we're always saying they. And what's interesting about what you're saying and what Rod was saying, all of us, I think, come across this corruption at some point in our lives, right? And it's not just, the fact of traveling is amazing, obviously. When you get brushed with the streets, it's amazing. But at the end of the day, we all come across corruption. We all see the corruption in the police force. We all see corruption in schools, in our own family, right? The question is, do we go along to get along? Or do we start to point it out? Now, those of us who are more inclined toward justice and whatnot, we want to see the good thing happen. But there's still this factor in the film that we haven't talked about yet, and that is there are sociopaths. There are people, this part of the population, that have no emotion. They are not human. And I think the human race that has not yet come to terms with the fact that there are 10% of the population that are sociopathic, that do not have human emotion or boundaries, and they are not human. So when we say, hey, we'll give him a pass, he's human, hey, he can, you know, he made a mistake, we're not understanding that fundamentally the they we're talking about is a small percentage of the population that does not care about humanity.
They live, we sleep. Rowdy, what's your take on why you've been immune to their programming and why some people are born with the glasses on or have them on pretty early and other people, it seems, are just born to be slaves to the sociopaths and the psychopaths that are 1% of the population that run them?
It's a good question, bud. You have to live within the system to be programmed. They have to at least get to you, your senses, in some way. And if they don't know where you are, and they don't know how, like I didn't have until I was 19 years old, nobody knew I was alive. I didn't have a social security number. I didn't have any passport. I didn't have anything. And so I was this kid that would do whatever I needed to do that the guys, the older pro wrestlers would tell me to do.
How did you fall into wrestling at a record age of 14, record young age?
15. I lived on the street for 2 years, and I was staying at a youth hostel. And the youth hostel was a YMCA, and I was the 167 amateur wrestling champion, and I boxed, and somebody just didn't show up in Winnipeg at the matches. And my amateur wrestling coach was a referee. He says, I can get you $25 if you want to fight this guy, but you'll lose your amateur status. I'd never seen a pro wrestling match in my life, but I came fifth in the world playing the bagpipes. And I went to my band and I said, what's going on? They said, we'll play you in. four bagpipers, a bass drummer with a big furly hat, two snares, and me come walking in. And I don't know if you remember Mr. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was his dad, Larry the Axe Henning, and, you know, it was still sawdust on the floor. And he didn't much like my entrance. It was the shortest match in the history of the Winnipeg Arena. He beat me in 10 seconds.
Back then, it was like real wrestling. It wasn't just like ballet.
Oh, no, no. There's this kid coming with all these bagpipers, and he was a top guy, and he just took me and beat me. He broke my nose, split my eye open. And they came and said, kid, you did great. How'd you like to go to San Francisco? They put me in a van and snuck me over the border, and I rolled every day until I was 19 in the Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles, and they finally got me a green card.
You know, they ought to make a movie about you. What'd you think of the movie The Wrestler?
What did I think of the movie The Wrestler? It's one of those things that, like, with They Live, with the conspiracies, you know, and tying that all in, you know, you got to go deep. You have to have the courage to dive in and the faith. And with The Wrestler, I give Mickey Rourke a, you know, thumbs up for portraying the character, but you just skimmed the surface. You don't understand real programming nor how ugly that gets day after day after day.
Wrestling in the early days was people a lot of times actually fighting. And then I guess it segued because of all the injuries into something that was more stylized.
Yeah, kind of. Let me just give you, I don't know if this applies, but let me try. When I was like 17 years old, there was this promoter. And when you got in to get paid, the old timers would tell me, you held out your hands and the first thing he put in was $10 a quarters. And he would look at you, and then he'd put a $5 bill, and he'd look at you. And if you smiled, he'd stop. So they would tell me, don't smile, because he would program you. If you ever had a clicker to go into the arena, because you used to get paid by the house, you'd be fired. If you asked questions about how much money was being drawn, you'd be fired and blackballed. It's total control. Well, I've been blackballed 5 times. Doesn't bother me anymore. Because there's a lot of guys in my sport that don't have the opportunity to be on a wonderful show like this that you can speak your mind. And I think that there's a lot of people just around the world that are very confused because you can't just, they can't just pinpoint what it is. And that's where I come to people like yourself, Alex and Sean. A little bit of renegade. I'm not the kind of people, you know, I don't like to be told what to do, but at the same time, I like to try to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, Rowdy Roddy Piper is our guest with Sean Stone, and we've only got like 15 minutes till the show's over. We'll take you guys right to the end if you can do it. I want to take some phone calls. Rowdy, you ready to take some calls?
You betcha.
All right. Let's go to Will in Georgia. You're on the air with the legendary star of They Live. Go ahead.
Thanks, Alex. That's a great movie, Roddy. You did a good job. It's a true ministry. On the late They Live, I actually married into the They part of They Live, the control, the New York, L.A., Sodom and Gomorrah axis, Hollywood, Babylon. And they taught my kids every morning on Saturday during worship services that everybody wasn't part of their tribe, was subhuman animals, cattle, just like I said in the movie. The preacher, the rabbi, would tell them, that your job growing up and from birth, they told them this, is to cheat, lie to, rob, enslave, and kill all the Gentiles.
All right, well, listen, do you have a specific question, sir?
Well, no, I mean, it just, we're Whigs. America is, our focus has to be on the Creator, who's named the Sovereign of the United States, the Creator of the universe.
Perfect. All right, well, listen, I appreciate your call. We've got questions or comments for our guest. We don't screen calls, so sometimes it becomes a soapbox, but there are always subgroups within any culture that teach that we're the best, everybody else. I mean, look what we say about the Arabs when we go invade and attack them, and then, you know, or what happened to the American Indians. I mean, this is something that goes through cultures everywhere. But, I mean, I guess the movie They Live does speak to class stratas, but I think it's more about individuals being psychopaths and sociopaths, about how they could be black, they could be white, they could be German, they could be Jewish, they could be Chinese. There are people genetically, I think, who really aren't human.
Alex, I was going to ask. Actually, I wanted to ask Rowdy that because I'm really curious to know where that story came from because Carpenter wrote it, and I mean, in your he must in your interaction with him, I'm sure you came across some interesting discussions as to what he thought. You know, who they really are, and if does he really believe that they are aliens?
Yeah, who is they exactly?
Yeah. At that time in 88, I think it came out in 88, they was the propaganda the world was shoving down our throats. But John and I, we talked a lot before we made this movie. I took it real serious. And, I don't want to speak for John, but just the way I remember it is, again, I don't think that we're the only... I don't think we're the only living source of energy in the universe by any means at all. And there's big committees right now getting together and saying, talking about things from other planets, aliens, whatever you want to call them, tall whites, grays, reptiles. And we weren't that detailed with it, but John and I both agreed that we don't think that we're alone in the universe. And I think that I ran across a doctor friend of mine who didn't agree with me at all. And I found that amazing that an educated man like that would not see that far. But maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm the crazy one. I don't know there.
Well, also, speaking of Mr. Carpenter, who I would love to get on, I'm a fan of his work as well, obviously. His 1980, whatever year it was, The Thing with Kurt Russell is so good. I mean, that is another amazing film.
Big time. John made a lot of films together. Here's just a little daily of note. The last Kurt Russell film, I think, with John was Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt was driving the semi with sunglasses on. Well, after that movie was finished, they had all those sunglasses left. That's the sunglasses you see in They Live. just a little levity as we're going along here, ruling the world. It's all about budget.
But the story for They Live came from a short story, or did Carpenter come up with the story himself?
No, it came from a short story called 8 o'clock High. And
that's right. The guy's still alive. We tried to get in contact with him.
I would have loved to speak with him.
Yeah, we want to get him on. He's still alive. He's got a website. Let's jam in one more call. We'll come back with one short segment. 25th anniversary, They Live. Rowdy Roddy Piper is our guest. Unbelievable. Let's talk to Nick in Nevada. Nick, do you have a question or a comment for Rowdy?
Yeah, Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper, you have been such a huge influence on me, and I've been a professional wrestler for over 10 years, and I idolized you. I looked up to you, and it's an honor and a privilege to speak with you on the air, and I also host a podcast as well on the topics that you and Alex have been discussing through your time here, and I appreciate you for that as well. My two questions for you are, sir, is one, did you expect the movie They Live to be such a huge cult classic as it's turned into be? And two, how many boys in the wrestling business do you think are aware of the New World Order?
Great questions.
Good job. What was the first one again?
Well, we're going to go to break, but answer the first one. Did you think that They Live was going to be so huge?
No, I didn't. At the time, I didn't think it would stand this test of time. No.
We're going to come back and only got like 6 minutes left on the other side, then we'll let them go because the show's going to be over here. We could have World War III with Syria, but we're talking about They Live. But that's kind of fitting because it gets us thinking. 25th anniversary, you can go to RowdyRoddyPiper.com. And you can see all the great info that he's got right there on the site. We'll be right back. I had tried everything. I'd cut back the amount of food I was eating. I was lifting weights and jogging, but nothing was working. My body was literally starving for minerals and trace elements as well as key vitamins. And as soon as I had that, I immediately could eat half of what I was eating previously and be satisfied. Now, there are hundreds of great products at InfoWarsTeam.com, but I want to point out the three that have helped me lose 37 pounds in just 2 months. Products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, and Rebound. When I started taking the Tangy Tangerine and other products every day, I lost more than 37 pounds in just 2 months. Now that's results. I want to challenge my listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and to order just 3 of their products, and you will see the changes in the way you look, feel, and in your appetite almost immediately. Start your journey to health and wellness today. InfoWarsTeam.com.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
By the way, Julie Wilson, one of our writers, just ran in here and she saw the clip. Rush Limbaugh came out today and said he thinks it's a false flag attack in Syria staged by Obama. That story's going to go up on InfoWars.com. We have the video clip. Nobody else has it. We're going to be breaking that coming up at InfoWars.com the next 20 minutes. She's going to post an article with all that information there. I want to take a few final calls here with our amazing guests that we both have, Sean Stone and Rowdy Roddy Piper, here with us. But, wow, what do you make, Mr. Piper, about having, like, all these mainstream people now say they think the whole thing in Syria staged by the rebels? There's video of it. I mean, it's just, it's amazing to see everything we've talked about, Sean Stone and I and others, is now just mainstream. Do you think the world is putting on the black sunglasses more and more?
Oh, Kyle. I think the world, you know what? I think the world, the real men of the world, have to stand up and say, I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Time to take a stand, boys. You know what? You got a little courage. Stand up for yourself. Baby Jesus. Oh, a bunch of sniveling whiners over in Syria. Like, I'm not qualified. I just know, like, who are you going to send over there? Why don't the Chinese help? What is the UN doing? And I saw those pictures. I'm not qualified, but I got 4 kids, and I got real angry.
Yeah, they're trying to punch our buttons, but, man, Rush Limbaugh coming out saying it's a false flag. Wow.
It's a ratings ploy.
Yeah, who knows? Sean, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
That's a huge deal of Limbaugh saying it, which probably gives credence to the fact that, you know, how can you sell the idea of the Assad government using chemical weapons when it's been leaked for months that the U.S. has been trying to sell chemical weapons and send them there for a false flag purpose? I mean, it's almost like the conspiracy is becoming more and more flagrant in advance, right? People can see it coming. The story is getting reported. So you can't, you know, it's
absolutely
hard to keep it contained. What are you going to do?
Listen, I don't want to hog the show. We got like 3 minutes left. RowdyRoddyPiper.com. It's got links to his Twitter up there. Just amazing. And I was talking to Rowdy earlier. He said he'll come on every once in a while with us. We're very honored to have him here on the show and honored to know that he's a fan of our work. We're just incredible fans of his. Real fast callers. You got quick questions. Ryan in Missouri, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. In They Live, they had the underground tunnel system, underground base system. My question is, some people think that Denver International is like some super secret base, spaceport, whatever you guys want to call it.
Well, there's giant underground bases everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess my question is, do you think it's, you know, in like the movie they say it's almost like aliens. I guess Rowdy already answered that, but does he think that, does he put two and two together like that?
I know exactly what you're talking about in Denver, and that they had a huge portrait from like the Holocaust to...
Chemical weapons,
and then they took the picture down. So I understand what you're saying. Again, they, you need to stand up against they. And yes is the answer. Coming into that tunnel, it's like where the Illuminati have their meetings.
Anything that you know about those meetings?
Do I know anything about them? I like to go in there and say hi to those guys.
Well, Sean, I bet you know about those meetings.
I haven't been invited yet, but I think it's time he and I do a movie, and we'll go chew gum together
and
have some fun.
Well, folks, Rowdy, Sean, stay there. I'm going to say bye to you at the end of the show. This has been an amazing interview. Thank you both for your time, and Mr. Piper, it's good to know you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Wow. Okay, sorry to the other callers. We're out of time. Nightly News tonight, 7 o'clock Central. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. Central with the radio.
Now you can...
And there you go. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. From September 3rd of 2013, 9 years ago. It's hard to believe how quick the time goes by. Again, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And hey, don't forget, folks, we have hundreds and hundreds of hours of podcasts, classic audio, and interviews with folks around the world in our catalog. Take the time and listen through, and we appreciate every download. Thank you so much for everybody who's been with us for almost 3 years now. Quite a run. So thank you very, very much. Everybody have a great rest of your week. We'll still have a drop a podcast that we'll be dropping, and we'll have some more classic audio for you this week. And everybody take care. God bless you. Keep your head on a swivel because they are coming at us from 360 degrees. All right, everybody, take care. We will see ya.
You're listening to the Fact Hunter Radio Network.
Just the facts, ma'am.